We're learning a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe. This is 1984. We learned basically the half of the discourse in the class, in previous class, and we're going to finish, God willing, today. What's the subject over here? What's the difference between the nations of the world in general and Amalek, that particular nation? Because that particular nation is called Reishis Goyim Amalek, the beginning of all the nations and so on. And we mentioned, the Rebbe mentioned, that there are two types of war. There's a war of conquering, and there's a war of destroying. Two different things. Conquering means the seven nations that were in the land of Canaan to transform it into the land of Israel and so on. And destroying means Amalek. The Torah says, Timches Zeichar Amalek, you have to destroy completely, erase from the first face of the earth, Amalek. Something we do not find in other nations. We have to refine the other nations, don't destroy them, refine them. But Amalek you have to destroy. And the Rebbe showed us a connection between the seven nations in the land of Canaan and the seven emotional qualities inside of us. So if we're going to say that, so that means every single thing in the Torah has a avodadik thing, has a thing of service up to God. How do you serve God with this thing or with that thing and so on? So over here, we have seven nations that don't exist anymore. Amalek doesn't exist anymore either. And we still have to destroy it. We still have to refine them. So those nations mean in the soul of a person, seven emotional qualities. You have to refine them. Don't destroy them. In other words, don't destroy your capacity to love things, to get close to things. Don't destroy your capacity to reject things, get further from things. Rather, refine it, reorient that capacity into, instead of loving pizza, love God. Instead of fearing not having money to pay the bills at the end of the month, fear God, and so on. All of this is about the seven nations, the seven emotional qualities inside of us, which is an eternal message, so to speak. Even though the nations don't exist anymore, we still keep this quote-unquote mitzvah, this thing of refining ourselves. And it's a difficult work. This is what we end up last class. It's a difficult work to refine these nations, quote-unquote, just as it was difficult for Yeshua ben Nun to conquer the land of Canaan and so on. Now, we still don't know exactly what Amalek means. We just defined or explained, so to speak, the seven nations and their counterpart in the work in the soul. This thing in the service of the man to God. Now, the nations of the world, which they also represent these seven qualities, these seven nations, 70 nations, 7 times 10, it doesn't really matter the mathematics over here. Each one of those is composed of the other ones and 49, and in the general nations, we're not going to dwell on that. The point is that they represent, those seven nations in the land of Canaan, they represent actually all the nations of the world. And if we have to refine them, don't destroy them, refine them, which also means refine yourself. So, wait a second, this has an expression also in the world at large. Take the non-Jews and refine them. So this is what the Rebbe is saying right now. Also, the nations of the world, you can actually generate in them a recognition and meditation, contemplation, that since a thing, a physical thing, does not make itself, cannot produce itself, certainly there is somebody, let's call him God, that creates them. Anybody can understand it's a rational thing. It's so simple and so basic. Rational thing. And when you ask a scientist, this is, I think it's important to note, when you ask a scientist, wait a second, you talk to me about the Big Bang, and there were two particles that collided, and blah, blah, blah. Very interesting. Where did the particles come from? It's interesting that this is not a scientific question. It's a religious question. There's a point in which science says, don't bother me. I don't have an obligation. I'm not obligated to answer your question. It's not a scientific question. If you ask me, why does the thing fall? Okay, I can answer you a scientific answer. because we tried and we tested and Newton and Einstein. Okay, so I can give you a scientific answer. But if you ask me where the particles go, where did the thing come from? I don't have to answer you. That's not a scientific question. It's a religious question. Go talk to a rabbi, go talk to a whatever. So over here, the Rebbe is directly talking about, can a non-Jew understand, and I stress this word, understand, not have faith, understand that there's a God? Yes, he can understand. No, but he's a non-Jew. Yeah, who cares? Does he have a brain in his head? He can understand it. And it's understandable that this entity, let's call him entity, that creates everything, does it with a purpose. He doesn't create things because he wants to create them. Our sages say this. Every single thing in the world, it's for the glory of God. He doesn't create things just because he's bored. This is what means when our sages say that every single thing in the world was created to serve its creator. Interestingly, the Mishnah over there in Kiddushin, at the end of the tractate of Kiddushin, is talking about basically a Jew. I was created to serve my master. And there's another version, I was not created except for the service of my master. The only reason why I was created is the service of my master. However, the Rebbe is saying so, like, it doesn't even need a source. It's like obvious that this doesn't apply only to Jews. This applies also to non-Jews. And there are stories in the Midrashim and so on. One that I remember very briefly, I'm not going to say the whole story, that David HaMelech found, King David found the importance of having created, arañas in Spanish. It's not a word that I use so much. Spiders. Why did God create a spider? So there's a story, whatever. If David HaMelech thinks, why did God create such a creature, spider, and so on? Of course, non-Jews, there are human beings, much more important and higher than spiders. Of course, there's a reason why they exist. Now, the Aliyadeya is Boinenu Zu, Efshal Lifel is Birur Shiva Midois. Very important line. Through this meditation, you can actually refine these seven qualities. So, many, many things happening over here in very few lines. Point number one, let's talk about story, history. History, Yeshua entering the land of Israel, he conquered the seven nations, Hiti, Emoir, blah, blah, blah. Okay, very nice. Let's talk about my soul and everybody's soul. Oh, you, by thinking about God, you will refine your soul. Okay, let's talk about the mission of the Jewish people in the world, to be a light unto the nations. By helping a non-Jew meditate about God and realize, Akara says the Rebbe, you realize that there's a God, that helps the non-Jew refine himself, herself. He, she becomes a better person because he realizes that there's a God. Vezeu, and this is the reason gam, mashu mesoel in istabu v'shiva mitzvos b'nei noach, shekeneged shiva midos. And this is the reason also, says the Rebbe, this word is interesting to philosophize a little bit, but whatever. Also, why the non-Jews, the nations of the world, were commanded seven commandments of b'nei noach, of the children of noach, that they represent these seven qualities. Each mitzvah represents a quality. Because they have the capacity of actually keeping this commandment. If you pay attention, he brings seven commandments, that's a plural thing, seven things, whatever, don't kill, don't steal, and so on. And then he says, there's a tzivui ze in singular. There's one, so to speak, it's just singular, one commandment. So what is he talking about? Is seven or one? No, you didn't get the point. You have to keep seven commandments. Don't kill, don't steal, and so on. But you know what? What's the purpose of all of this? Refine yourself. That's one commandment. You have to become a better person. We can argue and discuss what's a better person. Okay, that's another subject for another class. But you have to refine yourself. You have to become a better person. So how do I become a better person? What do you want from me? I don't know what to do. Okay, think about God. Meditate. There's a God ruling all over the place and so on. But it's very difficult. Yeah, but you can do it. If God is asking you to do this, you can do it. That's why I want to say, I didn't see this written anywhere, but when the Rebbe adds the word gam, also, the Rebbe was so precise. Also, the reason why the Jew, non-Jews were commanded the seven commandments. So wait a second. There's a one thing and also another thing. So what are the two things? Okay, first of all, go keep your seven mitzvahs. That's what you have to do. Make the world a good place for living and so on. Yeah, how the way Yeshaya says, the Shevi Yitzara, God created, Lois So Yuvreo Le Shevi Yitzara. God didn't create the world to be a jungle. God, the Rebbe uses the word jungle in many places when he's talking about this particular verse. And he created actually the world to be a established world. Morality and then ethics and so on. And also, doesn't stop there. Also, you have to refine yourself. How do you do that? Think about God. And they can do that. If God wants this, it's because he's giving you the strength to do this. The same thing happens when you work within yourself. Not only working on the nations, on other people outside of this Jew, so to speak, that we're talking about one person, but also not only talking about them, working with them, helping them meditate and helping them improving and so on, but you have to work on yourself and you have to transform your seven qualities into Kedush, into holiness. Don't be an animal. Be a mensch, be a human being. I know that means. First of all, you have to work on yourself in a way of subduing your bad qualities. You force yourself. Do you really incorporate this in your life? No, I'm forcing myself into this. I don't like it. I don't want it. I'll do it anyway. Then afterwards you come from the easiest to the hardest. You transform yourself. You transform bad traits, character traits, into Kedusha, into holiness. Through the completeness of this work with refining your seven qualities, then you have to go to refine the brain. The mind. This, as we explained in the previous class, this will be in the future to come. When God gives us the land of these other three nations, Amon, Moav, Edom, Kini, Knesset, Kadmoni, Eretz Eser Amomin, the land of the 10 nations, not the 7 nations only, as the Mittler Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Chabad, explains in his famous discourse on this subject, particularly refinement of your qualities, of your character traits. She asks, then in the world to come, there's not going to be such a thing as don't bother, so to speak, Moyav, the land of Moyav, the people of Moyav. Because then we're going to refine also the mind, the brains. Omnam. Add as, however, up until that moment comes, in the main work is to refine your character traits, 7 character traits. Like the Tanya says clearly, and not just in the Tanya, like in the mystical part of the Torah and so on, but also in law, in halacha. In a practical law, today we can only conquer the land of the 7 nations. Which is not the case with the land of the 3 nations. There it's written, don't bother them. Don't bother them. It's not for you, not now. It's not even part of the land of Israel. People think Jews want the world. They run. There was a whole thing in Argentina. Proyecto Andina, I think it was called. It's a Project Andina that the Jews want to conquer the whole south of Argentina. Which is a huge place, empty, not even cows, nothing lives over there. It's like a desert, whatever. And the Jews want to conquer Argentina. You're nuts. Jews want to live in Eretz Israel. And what's Eretz Israel? If you really look at the biblical maps, is it even smaller than what it is right now? See, small place. tiny place. Okay, but the Jews are fine there. All right, hine, now. This fact, this idea that the nations of the world by themselves, they're not as they should be, and therefore you have to conquer them, quote unquote, into holiness. The cause for this, why do they have a problem? Why do the nations have a problem? The reason for this is Amalek. Amalek is the head, the beginning of the nations. This is a very fundamental idea in Chabad thinking. How does Chabad look at non-Jews? The nations of the world by themselves, who are them? What do they want? Like the Midrash says, our sages say this very clearly. If the nations of the world would have known the benefits, so to speak, that the Mikdash did, the temple did for them, how good the temple was for them, they would have put soldiers in order to protect it. So if you take a non-Jew, again, through this lens that the Rebbe is telling us right now, you take a non-Jew and you look at this guy. Is this guy good or bad? The Torah, you talk about, you talk to other rabbis, and non-Jews, get out of here, there's garbage, and then animals, and whatever. You're going to hear all kinds of things. But what is the Rebbe saying? No, the Rebbe is saying something else. If you take a non-Jew, cut, so to speak, Amalek, but you take a non-Jew, what's a non-Jew? I want to protect the temple. I want to protect the temple. It's good for you, it's good for me. Let's help. That's a non-Jew. I know. That means mishum she'efshar she'tiyeh b'ma'akara anal. Dein davar ha'isesatzme. Because it is possible for them to have this recognition that we mentioned before, in the paragraph before, that a thing doesn't do itself, doesn't produce itself, therefore there's a God. They can do this. They're there. V'gam em yoidim she'akrav shivim parim, who can get shivim umois, and they also know, they're not fools, they also know that the offering of the seven bulls in the festival of Sukkot, holiday of Sukkot, doesn't really matter right now. It is for the benefit of the 70 nations, 70 bulls, 70 nations. Even though the truth is that at the beginning of the holiday of Sukkot, we offered 13 bulls, and then 12 bulls, and then 11 bulls, so they went down all the time. However, they understand that it is for their benefit. They know this. They want to protect the temple. And the reason why you don't see this in the non-Jews, and throughout history, Oyves Mir, the Crusaders, and all kinds of things, and the Nazis, and the Romans, and this and that. Why don't you see this? The Rebbe is saying that they're good. Why don't you see this? It's because Amalek comes and puts inside of them Krirus means coldness, Sveikus, doubts, and so on. This is what Amalek actually means. The word Amalek, when you actually add the letters of the word, it comes out Safek, doubts. Doubts, Amalek is doubts. That's really the temple, is really the temple good for me? Why don't you go learn the Tanakh? The Shlomo HaMelech prayed when he built the first temple, listen to the Jew. Shlomo HaMelech is telling God, hey, and to the non-Jew, I'm sorry. Shlomo HaMelech is telling God, go listen to the non-Jew. When he asks you something, just do it. Come on. And supposedly they know also this. They should learn. Whatever. So why don't they keep this, Amalek? Amalek is in there bothering. Because this idea that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, said, the river, Nile River, is mine, and I did myself, like it's a very extreme thing. He believed he actually produced himself. That's something really built to Ragil Klan, really not common at all, says the Rebbe. That a person considers that he formed himself? Who thinks like this? Like, it's kind of weird. Everybody knows, my father, my mother, and so on. So, what are you thinking? You're really crazy. It's not common. Even Bilam, who was a terrible guy, he hated the Jews and so on. He said, "Livnei she'amar reishis goyim ha'olam." Before saying this verse that we're teaching and learning and so on, that the beginning of the nations is Amalek. What did Bilam, this non-Jew prophet, say? Lo'yuchal lavoy l'pi Hashem. I cannot transgress the word of God. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. He recognized this also. Okay, there is a Betanya, like Tanya says, Shepikudos is Barach Shamra Rucham, Ben Yechonin Avoir al Retzoin is Barach. That they all, it's talking about not necessarily non Jews, it's talking about Klippa in general, like impurity and so on. Even there, they keep the word of God and they cannot transgress the will of God. So that's what a non Jew actually is. He's a good guy. However, Ella Sheba Amalek Matil by Mseikes comes Amalek and puts in doubts. The Zoinian Ilu Hayu Yoidin Inyan Shesavik. That's what our sages mentioned before by the protecting the temple. If they would have known, so there's a doubt over there. Maybe they knew, maybe they didn't know. Well, okay, this is Amalek. Vegam Krirus and also coldness. Achenase Etzlam Gam Midus Rois Hule. To the point that this comes down and down and down and produces bad character traits. Let's kill the Jews, let's do this, and so on. That's why they need this meditation. Think about it, and you realize. But people don't spend the time thinking. Precisely through Izboinenus, through meditation, you conquer the seven nations. See how the Rebbe, interestingly, I don't know if it's in purpose or not, the Rebbe goes back and forth, nations, qualities, character traits, nations, and seven, all the time, back and forth, because this is the way I understand it. The Rebbe is telling us, teach a non-Jew to think about God. This is what he's saying. That's the way you refine them. That's the way you bring out the real essence that they have. That they're good. They want to protect the temple. But Amalek is not letting them. So, again, up to here comes the refinement of the seven nations. It's tough. It's difficult. And you have to refine again. But the war with Amalek, it's completely in a different way. Completely different. That's why the objective of here is delete. Press delete, erase, gone. Why? The idea is like this. The inenois of alze she Amalek males fakes, the mishum ze ureish is goyim. In addition to the fact that Amalek is full of doubts, that's why it's the beginning of the nations and he's the head of the nations and so on. There's more. In the oidzois, yeshne be Amalek mashe yoidea tzribayinu mecham lamrod boy. Amalek has another quality, terrible quality. He knows. He recognizes its creator and still rebels against him. It's not that he doesn't know God. No, I know God very well, and I'm going to rebel. Whatever he says, I'm going to do the opposite. I know. That means, even though he knows who his master is, God, he makes his mission statement, I'm going to rebel. I'm a rebel. That's what I am. Ubi sfido isu inyan sfidas hakeset. Now, deluma ze. And when you express exactly the same thing in a more mystical language, this is called keset, the crown of the other side, so to speak. The crown of impurity, the crown of the head of everything. Ukenoide de mekivan she Adam nibra beoifen she yeh baal bechira, and as it's known, because the man was created in a way that he has free will, like the Torah says, you should choose life, but you have a chance to choose differently, God forbid. That's why God made one thing opposite to another one. That means there's a very strong power for good, and at the same time, there's a very strong power for not good. That's what actually makes the person be able to choose. This is a difficult phrase to translate, but I'll do my best to explain also. That means that Amalek is a very deep type of bad, very deep type of evil. He not only rebels against the character traits of holiness, and not only to the intelligence, to the seichel, to the intellect that has relationship to the character traits in the heart, and not only to intellect by itself, rather also he's the keser, he's the crown, and surrounds, so to speak, beyond the intellect, and that's where he actually is against God. So I'll try to explain as brief as possible so we can finish it, because it's not the main thing of the Maimer, I think. The idea is like this. You can have a bad character trait, but since character traits, like emotional character traits, you get angry, I'm an angry guy, okay. But because character traits in the heart, they are nurtured by the brain, by the understanding, why do you really get angry? Because you think you don't deserve this. Whatever the case is, I don't know, your children didn't wash the dishes because, as you asked, and you get angry, they didn't wash the dishes, I do everything for you, because you think you deserve that at least, after all that I do, you at least wash the dishes, at least do something for me. So you get angry, because you deserve. Okay, so when you understand you don't deserve, because the only one that deserves anything is God, you're not gonna get angry. You didn't wash the dishes, okay, we can argue, why not, discuss, what happened over here. But you're not going to get angry. That's emotions. They get nurtured by the brain. Then you have the brain that, as we explained in the previous class, the intellect that it gets invested into the emotions, that gives life to the emotions. And then you have the intellect by itself, not related to emotions. When a person is learning something deeply, really trying to understand something, you don't want to talk to anybody, and you don't care about anybody, and actually anybody bothers you. Don't make noise. Please don't talk to me right now. I'm trying to understand this. It's a difficult piece, and so on. That's intellect by itself. Intellect in relation to emotions is what gives actually power to the emotions. The more you understand something, the more you're going to want something or reject it, whatever the case you're talking about. But intellect by itself, it's a very deep thing, and it's disconnected from the world. You're thinking for yourself. When you think, nobody knows what you're thinking, and you're just by yourself. And again, anybody else bothers you. So Amalek not only is against, rebels emotional qualities, not only the intellect as it's the power and the strength of emotions, not only against the intellect by itself, but it's the keser, it's the crown. That's a word in Kabbalah, a famous word, keser, crown. Okay, what does that mean? It means something deeper than intellect. It means your will. It means your pleasure. Why do you exist? I exist. It means the essence of the feeling, I. Me. I exist. That's basically keser, me. And he rebels, that's the realm, I'm sorry, that's the realm where Amalek lives. And the Rebbe gives it in very simple words, but I hope after the explanation we're going to understand it so easily. V'chutzpah v'leisaga. Amalek is arrogance, it's pride without a crown. It's like a king without a crown. He says he is the king, and he is ready to stand in front of the king of whatever country and say, you are nothing, I'm the king. Even though you're really nothing and he's the king, he's ready for that. He doesn't care. So he's like a king without a crown. He's like complete arrogance. I don't care about anything and anybody. I'm the boss of the world. But he's really not. That's what keser means. That's what this crown level thing means. And that's the realm where Amalek actually works. That's why you have to completely erase it. So the Rebbe, before, just one more line. Two more lines to end the paragraph, but important to understand, the Rebbe over here brought two ideas. Idea number one, doubts, together with coldness, which is actually basically the same thing. And the second idea is chutzpah. Chutzpah means arrogance, pride, I exist and you don't exist. That's why the only way you can actually deal with this is destroy it completely. Timche, you have to erase it. Ki ha'inyan de merida chule, I efshal lezakechu levarere. Because this thing of being a rebel, you can't actually refine it. There's nothing to refine. What do you mean? Being a rebel is not a good thing at all. Parenthesis, it's not in the Maimar, but I think it's interesting to note, you can be a rebel on the world, rebel against the world. It's interesting. You can refine it somehow. But whatever, in this Maimar, in this discourse, the Rebbe says you can't refine this. Rebellion is not a good thing at all. Like Bilam said, you have to completely destroy it. Destroying it, you're actually fixing it. That's the only way you can fix this Amalek. However, we have to understand. Didn't our sages say that everything that God created in his world, he created it for his glory? How can such a thing exist as a Amalek whose all intention is, complete intention is rebellion? Wait a second. So God created rebellion. That means, I mean, it wasn't our idea. It's his idea. Whatever exists over here is his idea. So what's the good thing of Amalek? What's the glory of God out of Amalek? And again, we said Amalek is a rebellion and that's why you have to destroy it. So how does that destruction actually bring out the glory of God? The idea is like this. The noise of Lamevuar Betanya, Mashal Mizaino Ben Amalek Vechule, in addition to what the Tanya brings, is actually from the Zohar. An example, and I'm not going to explain all the details, of a prostitute, whatever, these women that work at night and so on, and the son of the king. It's a famous example that the king wants to prove the strength of his son, and he hires this woman and so on. Okay, in addition to that, so we see that there's good. There is a service to God, even in the bad, evil parts of the world, because they're there for you to have free will. That's what basically means. This is in order to test the son of the king, to bring out his capacities from potential into reality. In addition to this, nice of Lazen, in addition to this, Gamba Zegufa Shehu Adeyovad Mizgaleva Zekvoidis Barach. In this same thing of destruction, that's what brings out the glory of God. The destruction itself, that's what God is expecting. And that's what glorifies him. What does that mean? These two ways of war that we explained at the beginning of the previous class, which are the two ways of service, of refinement, of destroyment, and so on, these are two general ways through which you can actually reveal the oneness of God in the world, the unity of God in the world. Two ways. Oifen Echot, what's the first one? Al yedei birur advarim sheyach b'hem sheyach b'hem sheyach b'hem birur. There's a letter missing over here. Through refining the things that can be refined, legales shegam b'hem nimshachor Hashem, to reveal that also in them there's a revelation. It could be a projection of the light of godliness. Ve'oifen hashen, the second way, while yedei shvira salum hazeh, is by breaking the other side, quote unquote. I know that means through the fact that you completely destroyed the existence of opposition. This also reveals that there's nothing else but God. So not only by taking something you could refine and showing how this thing is a godly thing, you actually reveal godliness in the world by destroying, also by destroying what's opposition to God. That's also, you see, you thought you existed. You thought you could be opposition to God. You're wrong. You don't exist anymore. You see, God is only one, and he's the only existence, and so on. That means that you reveal that there's no such a thing as a opposition to godliness. There can't be such a thing. I see it with my eyes. It's there to be destroyed. That opposition, that type of opposition, is there to be destroyed. What does that mean? We're going to understand this when we take an example of a king, a flesh and blood king. by the king giving his son reward because he behaves like the king wants, and my nishes misha einem is naked the boy, and by him, the king, punishing anybody that doesn't behave like the king wants, in both movements, so to speak, reward and punishment, gets revealed the strength of the king. By the king giving reward to that person that behaves properly, gets revealed that everybody has to behave like the king wants, and he rules because people actually behave like the king wants, and then he rewards. Okay, so we see that the king is actually the one that rules. ובזה שמי נישס מי שאינו מסנאי כדבוי מסגלה שלא ייתכן ליועס הנהגה שאינו כדבוי. And by the king punishing those who don't behave like he wants, there gets revealed that there's no such a possibility of behaving not like the king wants. So in both cases, the king, so to speak, becomes revealed. Either because I reward you, yeah, you behave properly, or because I punish you, you don't behave, that's it, you don't exist. ובלשון הידוע, דרך המוסר ופשטוס, למען איש מעבירו. And like the Torah says, and like Musar, ethics, Jewish moral and ethics, whatever, and in very simple words, so everybody will listen and see. And this kind of, it appears a few times in the Torah. All the times that it appears is when the Torah says you have to punish this guy, and everybody has to see and learn, behave, because otherwise you're going to end up like this guy. The way of refining the war against the seven nations is like the first way. Biru Amidus. You have to refine the emotional qualities and so on. Through this, you actually see the virtue of light over darkness. And in a way of the land of Canaan, people translate usually Canaan as the nation of Canaan, but actually means a merchant. That's what it means. It's explained in different places. Whatever. It's not the subject of this mimer. אמנם גם המולק שמכוון למרד בוי ואי אפשר לבר אלוי גם בוי יש כוונה. However, המולק, that his whole life is to rebel against God and you cannot refine it. There's also a purpose on it. Even in המולק, there's a purpose. וכנל, as we explained before, the כל מה שקורא בר הקדוש ברוך הוא בעולם לא יברא אלא לכבודוי, that everything that God created in his world, he didn't create it except for his glory. And what's the purpose of evil, so to speak? The purpose is that breaking it, that's fixing it. You have to break it. That's how you fix it, actually. The Rebbe stresses how you fix it. You can reveal through Amalek that there's nothing else but God. Even through Amalek, you can reveal that. Destroy it, and you will see. Now, all of this is in regards to this idea that Amalek, the whole thing of Amalek is to rebel. This you cannot refine. So you have to destroy it, and that's the way of fixing it. But the strength of Amalek, that you can actually use it, transform it into holiness. Yeah. Strength, yes. Ubelashon Razal, as our sages say, Matzois shitzi aloi beisur, itzi aloi beheter. I'm not going to go into all the details of this, no way, but it's talking about a woman, she didn't behave properly, she's married and she went with somebody else and so on, and the sages are talking about a very long thing, a whole tractate, so it, whatever, not the subject right now, but the translation of the words is the same blankets that she put in a forbidden way, she puts in a permitted way. Whatever, for one guy, for her husband, or for the other guy, okay. This you can actually transform it. That which you use for a prohibition, you can also use it for something allowed. You can transform it. That strength of Amalek, that I'm here, and this is what I'm going to do, in other words, I'm going to do the will of God, even if people say this and people laugh and be, I don't care. That's the strength of Amalek. I don't care. He uses it on the other way. God said this. I don't care, he says. But we can use it in a good way. Everybody laughs at me. I don't care. I know this is the right way. This is what our sages said in the Midrashim, in the Gemara, that from the children of Amalek, of Aman, in the story of Purim and so on, because this discourse was actually pronounced in Purim, they learned Torah. They actually learned Torah. So you see that there was a transformation over there. Because the strength of Amalek, you can actually transform it into holiness. Now let's go back to the beginning of the whole discourse. This is what the Midrash says, and this was the question of the Rebbe. Through remembering Amalek, the Jewish people are called the children of Abraham. Abraham. Why? What's the connection? Because Abraham Avinu, our forefather, was promised in the covenant between the parts, his covenant with God, that he would receive the land of 10 nations. When you look at actually Pashas Lech Lecha, you will see, and you count the nations that God says he's going to give to Abraham, you're going to find 10, not 7, 10. Shleimus bir kol umois, hamevi al yedei kabbalas eretz eser amamin, yal yedei bitul metzius Amalek. And the complete refinement of all the nations that will bring actually to receive the land of the 10 nations, that is through completely nullifying the existence of Amalek. So that's why remembering Amalek, you're actually fulfilling the promise that God made to Abraham. So that's why you're the children of Abraham, because you remembered Amalek. And at the end, Amalek by itself is going to be completely destroyed. This can be done even before the general redemption. And this can be done with the redemption, particular redemption, through every single Jew's work. It's explained in Tanya in a different place. In particular, in the sixth millennium, after the middle day, so to speak, because after the middle of the day, then the world start going up, like the Arizal writes, whatever. Doesn't really matter. You can accomplish this, is what the Rebbe is saying. You can accomplish this. Now is the time for this. And through this work of erasing, deleting Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek, comes from above what God says, I will erase Amalek. So you have to do your part, and he is going to do his part. As it's written, there's a war of God against Amalek, generation after generation. V'targum Yonasan ben Uziel, he translated, he lived in Eretz Israel around year 200 of the Common Era, and even before that also, a lot before that also. Yonasan translated like this, Midor de Meshicho, Midor de Almo de Asi. I will erase Amalek, in the, says God, in the generation of Mashiach, in the generation of the world to come, she has oisim dir alois barach v'tachtonim, that then we will do a dwelling place for God in these lower worlds. V'at shehi yamshach asa atzmus umohus shelemayla me'er v'choyshech, to the point that there will be a projection of the essence of God that goes way beyond light and darkness, bebiach Mashiach tzidkeinu, take off miyad mamish, with the coming of our righteous Mashiach, read speedily right now, literally right now.